Bless you, Jesus.
Worship Jesus.
Bless you, Jesus. Balakodos.
Worship Jesus.
Manda kede se diata.
Worship Jesus.
Ono kede be diata.
Worship Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I am really, really pleased with you, saith the Spirit of grace, and the way that you've handled yourself the last couple of services in your Father's house. For most in these days, grieve my spirit, saith the Lord. When my spirit is quenched, then my spirit is grieved. But understand this, that his grieving is not on the basis of how man understands offense. For he grieves for the one that has shut him out. He grieves for the loss that they'll suffer in their life as a result of not inviting him in and allowing him to do the work that he desires to do on their behalf. For them, it's always for them. So much of my church is grieving my spirit. It's grieving my spirit because they quench any inroad that he would have to come and change and maneuver their life into levels of peace, deliverance, and healings for their bodies. Know this, these saturating times that you've enjoyed, many more are available and will come. Stay in a posture in your spirit, a disposition in your soul that invites me and waits on me and is willing to go in. Do not dictate it. Do not come saying, we'll make this service like the last. Just be open, saith the Spirit of grace. When the word comes and the word is being preached line upon line and my mind is brought with instruction, that is as valuable to me as the times when my spirit refreshes your soul. You feel it in a different way because it comes with a refreshing and a cleansing and a saturation. And I'm pleased. Utterly pleased, and that provides something for you that nothing else can. But so is that truth in every other aspect of the walk of the Spirit and the walk of power as I bring forth my word and bring forth the reality of my truth in your life. Do not, as I said, try to dictate and say this is the way we'll have it, but follow me. For I'll come every season. I'll come, and I'll come, and I'll come. Be open, saith the Spirit of grace. Provide the opportunity and quench not the Spirit and despise not prophesying, but allow my Spirit to come on every turn. You'll grow and mature, and you'll have the wherewithal, the bread. You'll have the bread to give to the nations, saith the Spirit of grace. I am well pleased, saith the Spirit of grace and your Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Well, I've got a weakness, like many of you, for worship. It's a good, I'm glad for that weakness. Hallelujah. If there's anything that you want to become addicted to, it's you want to become addicted to presence. To presence. This is no brag on me because it's just his grace, but when Pastor Dave started on the worship and then I followed him in that, and that's been years ago, then he actually had to pull me not out of it, but back into more of a balance. He's done that over the last few years, a few years, I guess. Because the biggest part of my day was in that place of worship. I got so addicted to it. I wasn't leaving out tongues. It was a major part of it too. But it had to bring me back more into the Word and those kinds of things. And now it's still a vital, vital part. But you're talking about a major addiction. You spend very much time in His presence, you won't want to get out of it. And I'll say this, it really unequivocally. Now the Word, if you just stand on the Word, it'll just make you rock solid. You can stand when all hell's coming against you. You won't backslide if you've got enough Word in you. And you won't go crazy and go off and go do stupid stuff and all that. That's the stalwartness. That's the forefront. That's that rock hardened steel. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. But I know this, that if you want to change your emotions, if you want to have any effect on your emotions, the best limb for that is worship. Spend some quality time in worship. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to have some more of those worship services like we've had over the last couple of months. Isn't that great? Wasn't that great? Hallelujah. I'm so proud of you guys. I want to go ahead and let's get ready to give. We're going to get into some good stuff tonight. There's no way for me to finish what I have in front of me. I'll just go until we normally get out. Because he's given me so much stuff and so much wonderful stuff, and it's going to be good. It's going to start out in the practical and move more and more into the spiritual, but it's all spiritual. Hallelujah. But the last couple services, we didn't even put out anything. Well, we did put something out, but there was no formal appeal for an offering. But you guys were faithful, and I really appreciate that so much. And people out there give, but still, the biggest part of present tense of the support of this ministry comes from this congregation here. So we so much appreciate your sensitivity. Hallelujah. And thanks for coming out on a Wednesday night when it's kind of warm in here. I've got Homer's AC blowing this way because this is the hottest part of the church. This is the one time I won't be upset if you're sitting towards the back. It's okay. So praise the Lord. So I'm going to pray, and if you have something, we'll stand together one more time. Father, thank you for this opportunity of giving. Lord, thank you that you supply all of their needs and the needs of this house. According to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, you manifest yourself continually. You are faithful. You are faithful. And Lord, we just ask you to bless them as they bring this offering tonight. Thank you for this worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together one more time. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your blessing. And thank you for the power of your Spirit to bring forth in your Word. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. It's good to see everyone back from the Young Adults Conference. And we want to say to anyone listening that's from that area or anyone that attended, we so much appreciate our Tulsa family putting that on each year. And for the ones that went, we're so glad that they went and that they're back. And we had some of them back Sunday, but we've got everybody back tonight. And Robert did an awesome job Sunday. I understand Harry got to lead some worship out there a little bit. And I listened. Candy and I were headed someplace today, and we got to listen to a message that Homer preached out there. And it was just awesome. It really was. Called The Power of Not Knowing. If you want to look on their website and find that, it was really very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. We enjoyed it as we listened. And I was so proud of him. And, of course, he always does an awesome job. And so, praise the Lord. Just very, very powerful. Hallelujah. Speaking of the young adults, they're scheduled for this Sunday night again, okay? So this Sunday night, the young adults will be here. We've had a few Sunday nights off now from the calling and the loss, but it's all been by the wisdom of God and by the preparation of the Holy Spirit. So again tonight, we're going to announce that, the young adults. Hallelujah. We are still on, and we're going to be on for a while. What's that? Kings and Priests on Sundays, okay? Hey, listen, if you King, I was talking to Prelo today, and I told him, listen, if you're listening to anything, get Kings and Priests, you know, and listen to Kings and Priests. Honestly, there are some things that, and this is, again, it's no brag of myself, but it's just things that have been there for a while. And Homer said the other day, I mean, I didn't say it first myself, but he was telling me how much he appreciated one particular message, and he said, Pastor, some of these things haven't been said for hundreds of years, maybe since, really, all of us guys and gals that are headed in the right direction are hearing things that were said by the apostles, but they've been hidden in darkness for hundreds of years. And Kings and Priests have got a couple of messages that are really, really good. I mean, they're all good. But there's some things there. The message that came about a couple of weeks ago, Kings teaching angels. I mean, there's some stuff in there that I'd never heard anybody preach before. So, please, I'm only advertising that to say that's some stuff that we need for our foundation. I'm starting tonight by saying I was going to review some of Lesson 7, but we don't even have time to get into Lesson 7. This is Lesson 8, and it's I don't know how far we'll get into it. I have some handouts. We may not even get to the handouts. That'll be fine. We'll get those out to you next week. I know you'd like to have them because you'd like to have the stuff that's in them. But this particular lesson is called The Sword of the Spirit, the Offensive Weapon. So we're on the continuation of Onward Christian Soldiers, and this is Lesson 8. Kings and Priests is on Sunday. This is Lesson 8 of Onward Christian Soldiers. The message before last week was on peace, and it was, I think it was called Peace or Perfect Peace. And we went over a whole lot, and we went to Isaiah, and one of our favorite scriptures there that we've exhorted before on the past was that perfect peace and how that God will give us peace. And it's, I said I wasn't going to, but I just got to read that. If I can find lesson, okay. Somebody have that, okay, here we go. Isaiah 26:1, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and a bulwark. Open ye gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. That is what? Shalom, shalom, peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And of course, you've got to get the part whose mind is stayed on thee. That's the secret. That's the part of it. It's a deliberate place of keeping your mind on the Lord, and that's what we're teaching you in these days, how to really grow up, stay grown up. But there's a perfect peace, and we're going to need that perfect peace in the days ahead. But Isaiah said that he was the chastisement of my peace was upon him. That's the gospel right there. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, was upon him. It really began at the Last Supper. It transitioned, that all began to come on. It transitioned in the garden, the great drops of blood, according to Luke. And that chastisement of his mental anguish began to be the foretelling of my peace that I could go through any storm in this life and have peace. Hallelujah. Perfect peace. You know what's so great about peace? Perfect peace. It's a redundant peace. It's a peace backed up by a peace. Now, some people are professional worriers. They're incredible worriers. They've worried so long all their life that they feel uncomfortable in peace. Like, I'm at peace, but I'm not sure when this is going to be going away. Peace is a mirror image of each other. So it's infinite. It's like I said, standing looking in a mirror with a mirror behind you, it ricochets. And peace is a peace that doesn't feel intimidated about peace, that peace will ever leave. It just holds you. You don't have to hold it. It holds you. That's peace. Somebody said, hold on to peace. I've had to hold on to peace before, but I just love it when peace is holding on to me. When I'm just like incapacitated by peace, it's like, my God, I'm in this place, and it just feels like I can't. David said, you have put my feet in a wide place. Now, my feet have been in narrow places before where it felt like trepidation was on, like I was standing on the edge of a cliff. Like, man, but it's just wonderful. Peace puts you in a place where, and usually the greatest hell that's ever been surrounding me, that's when peace. It's always there, but it seems to like shine. It just shines like, man, it just, peace loves to shine in adversity. But most people, I said we were going to go here. Most people live out of this. And if you're listening by MP3, I'm pointing to my head. They live out of their soul. Kenneth Hagin said, and I said it's not so good to say it nowadays because there's so much stupid stuff going on. But he meant it in a spiritual way. He said if you could just cut Christians' heads off, if they could live without their head, they could live victorious. Because they live out of their heads. They reason out of their heads. They don't reason out of the Word of God. They don't live out of the Word of God. And so when something comes to them, they just start contemplating and start thinking. Mature ministers of God, and that's all of us who want to mature, when anything comes to you unusual or any poison dart comes to you, how many of you know the enemy will shoot poison darts? If you're spiritual, you'll feel it. When a poison dart hits a carnal Christian, it doesn't disrupt them because that's the world they live in. Pastor Dave used to say it like this. If you're living in turmoil all the time and peace is supposed to be your compass, the interruption of something like a check. Somebody says, I don't want to go over there. Why? Because I got a check in my spirit. Well, that's our vernacular. But what does that mean? It means my spirit is interrupted. It's like my peace just got interrupted. But if you're always in turmoil, how can he interrupt turmoil with the interruption of saying he doesn't extract your peace, he just interrupts it like, ooh, butterflies, wrong direction, don't feel good about that. But if you don't feel good about everything because your mind is so engaged, you're living in a wonderland. He doesn't have that ability, though that's there, that new nature is there, but it's so overpowered by the mind. Who's in charge here? Hey, who's in charge here? So the spirit man is supposed to be in charge. So, okay. Is that okay, Lord? Okay. Hallelujah. As I said, we'll never, ever, 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 ever get all this done tonight. So it's just good to have stuff in front of me, and it's just wonderful. I love the Holy Spirit. He's God. I enjoy those services as much as you, but I'm like, okay, do you realize that he's piling all this stuff on? And if we were to have our own little conference here, I could probably teach you for 2 or 3 weeks every night and still have something and never, it's just coming and coming and coming and coming. Praise the Lord. So, hallelujah.
me get to tonight. Okay. That is the insert. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Jesus. I think that I left something somewhere all of tonight's. Maybe not. Maybe it's here. The good thing about recording, we can always cut this for YouTube. That's when it goes live, that's when it's going to be really tough. Hallelujah. Okay. Peace, peace. That's it. Okay, I know that's 7. And this is the insert to 8. Oh, here's 8. I was in peace. I was in peace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. Tonight, before we even get into, and this is part of lesson 8, as I said, the Holy Spirit wants to kind of reiterate something, and it's not that I want to belabor it, it's just that we're going to speak about some practical and then the spiritual, and as I said, both are spiritual. I want to remind you, I'll say it for the first time, but I'll say this in preface to what I've said before. This is not legalistic, okay? But listen to your pastor's voice the second time. Especially when it's necessary, okay? I'm not wanting to put something on you, like legalistically, like every service, you got to go listen to it the second time. I just want us to be on the same page for what is coming and what is being given. It's like Gary Carpenter would often say, he goes, when that steak is there on the plate, yeah, it's there. But when I eat it, it becomes, and he says, Gary, but it's Bronk, it's you, it's all of y'all. Speak it. Hallelujah. All right, let's close. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. It was a good service, Lord. Thank you. But it is so important for us, especially God really wants, I'm going to read some of this because as God is really wanting to help us. God is really wanting to help prepare us for unity for what is coming. We can all become very works-oriented because we're preaching in here like die to the flesh, listen to the message, read the word, do this. So we can all become very works-oriented, especially diligent people can succumb to this trap. You guys are diligent people. I'm not casting a shadow on everybody that's not here, but our Wednesday night crowd and especially our Sunday night crowd, those are some diligent people. And some of you just can't come as far as you live on Sunday night. I understand that. I'm not, as I said, casting anything. I'm saying this, okay, like I'm talking to myself or like if I was having a discussion or if somebody was presenting this, okay, I can check that off. I got it. In other words, I was there. I heard the service, or I was in the service, or I listened to we used to call them tapes, or the MP3 or whatever. I got it. That's accomplished. See, real diligent people want to, I usually run a 4-page list for my life. It's cut in 4 sections. And I'm just, I got all these things, and I love to check them off. I love that feeling every day. Check, 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 check. But that checking off, we often, a diligent person can say, I can check that off. I've got that accomplished. That service or message is complete. It's time to move on to something else. Even when the depth, now listen to this, even when the depth of the quality of the message presented never takes root. Our prayer time's the same way. I don't know about yours. A lot of times I can, okay, I got so many hours, get up early, onward, Christian soldier, I'm going to get this done. And you know what? I can mindlessly start praying. And then sometimes I stop myself and say, "What, God, I don't want to present any tokens to you. I don't want to check this off. Got that, done that. It's not in the volume, listen, it's not in the volume of information that you hear that does you any good. It's in the quality of the level that you receive something down in your spirit that causes change. You can listen to 3 of my messages, 2 of Homer's, 4 of Homer's, 5 of Gary's, 6 of Jim's, blah, 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 and 1 week and say, I check. It's not the volume of hearing. It's how much of it got down in there and it became you. So you'd be better off to listen to 1 or 2 or half or get halfway in and just sit there. Kenneth Hagin said he used to meditate. You know the word meditate in the Hebrew means to mutter, means to talk to yourself. So you'd get a scripture and just lay there and mutter it, just over and over and over. Get it down in there. It's not quantity, that's not the secret. It's quality. Okay? Remember what Pastor Dave used to say? He says, God does not fellowship with the hours that you spend in prayer. Well, I've been tearing it up. I got this. When somebody starts telling me how much, I don't know that I ever say anything to them. Sometimes I'm thinking, you know what, you'd be better off with 1 hour of quality. Let me just stick to my notes, okay? Pastor Dave used to say, God does not fellowship with your hours that you spend in prayer. He fellowships with change inside you while you're praying. That's what he fellowships with. Now, I'm going to say this twice so it's not misunderstood, because I'm not trying to elevate myself higher than I should. But I want to say this because I know it's from the Lord. There are valuable voices, and you guys know how much I promote other voices, good teachers that we love that are part of us. There are valuable voices that can speak into your life, but there is none more valuable than your own pastor. There's none more valuable. I said it twice, okay? And I can make reference to Jim Martin. He's got a series called The 23rd Psalm Shepherd. Now that sounds like an oxymoron. I'm telling you, there's none, no other voice. I'm telling you, go listen to somebody else, because they prove what I'm telling you. I'm free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The shepherd or the pastor's voice will hear from the chief shepherd to equip you for the first-hand mission that you have in your region or in your church. That's why he's saying this. It's so important for us to get what we're getting inside of us. The information passed on to you will best serve you against the particular warfare aimed at you in your mission to complete your ministry call. Therefore, it is imperative. Now, listen to this. Now, because and at times, mature, I will say this, mature people have shared with me the warfare in a perfect heart, in a perfect heart. And I'm glad they did, because it helps me to understand, and I already know what's out there. But it's imperative that Satan will do whatever he can to muffle, confuse, or disorient the voice of your pastor to your ears. That's got to be one of his number one priorities. He's got to. Okay? I said this the other day, but I'll say it again because it's so important. For children's workers, ushers, sound people, or anyone else that has anything to do, it's so important for you especially. Remember the other day, I'm pointing to Alex. By the way, it's a girl, everybody. Yay! Okay. The one message, when was it, 2 weeks ago? It was King's teaching, I think it was King's teaching angels, something like that. Marty was gone, and so we had Alex back there working, and Alex is like, he's very green, okay? He's very green. He's really intelligent in what he does, but he's a novice in that. We appreciate his help. But we walked out of the service that day, and people were telling me, wow, it was wonderful. It was just really wonderful. And I do always appreciate you listening and saying so, and I thank you for it. I appreciate it. It's good to be appreciated. And Natalie said at the sidewalk, they were walking out together, she goes, man, Pastor, that was fantastic. That was so wonderful. And Alex said, Pastor, he goes, I'm gonna have to get the message and listen to it. And the reason being is he's concentrating. And so I said, absolutely, I understand that. So for all of you workers, it's especially important for you to listen the second time, or maybe it's listen to the first time. Maybe it's really listen to the first time. Because we're all, especially the workers, you're a worker in this church because you presented yourself. What can I do to help? But you know what else about workers? All of us, me included, I love the checklist. Yeah, I was at that service. Got that done. Yep. Wait, whoa. Did you get it? Did you? Yeah, I got that accomplished. Let's go on to something else. Wait a minute. Did you get it? And that's the Barbara Unland, come up here. This is a very intelligent, super intelligent, wonderful, educated. This is one of our elders. Her and her husband have served in this church for many, many years, and she's an elder herself. And I heard the other day her over speaking something about how important it is to hear something. This woman would know because she taught in our school system here for many years. Smart, okay? Tell us what you know about hearing something the second time.
This is just practical advice based on what Pastor said. I paid a lot of money for this, so listen.
Listen.
The first time you hear something, those of us with average, even to above average IQs, the first time you hear something, it's only 10% that's going to stay with you. I don't care how hard you listen. I don't care how much you write down. By the time you get out that door, all you're going to remember is 10%. And that's why when Pastor says you need to listen to his voice again, the second time you listen, you're going to get more. Third time, you'll probably get around 85%. But you got to listen. That's an education. And the other thing the pastor does, he reviews a lot. Well, that's what teachers do. We do a zigzag. You go back, you go forward. You go back, you go forward. And that's how teachers teach. And he's our teacher.
Praise God. Thank you, Barbara. That's so good. That's so nice of you. So wonderful. Listen to smart people, okay? Listen to smart people. And again, it's not that I'm so smart because I know everything and because I'm, you know, called as your pastor or whatever. But here's the deal, and this is applicable to any teacher, any teacher. When we study, when we meditate the Word of God, it's something usually that's been, especially how Dave taught us, and I know how Homer works, and I know how I work, and I know how our other fellow, you know, teachers work. We'll read through things, sometimes literally hundreds of times. And so we've got that in us, and a lot of you guys understand meditation, how that works. But then when something comes to us, and a lot of what has been coming to me has been from books that I know I've read hundreds of times, books of the Bible, but I might not even be in that particular book at the time, but it just starts coming up. Well, here's the long story short. Then I'll start meditating on that, and I'll meditate on that and think about that, and then I'll start a lot of times writing notes down, and then I'll start backing up and looking at those notes and go over those notes, and before I present it to you, it's rolled over in my mind maybe dozens of times. And so I've thought about it. I know what makes sense to me, and then it may be a wonderful revelation, and you hear it, and it's not like you disdain it, but it's like, okay, that must be good. I'm not really sure why it's good, but it must be good. A lot of times, those are the kind of services you have to hear again, and then once you get it, you're going, oh, my God. I know what Pastor was excited about now. I got it, and it doesn't mean that you're less intelligent. It just means I had 10 times of meditation, and it finally began to stick, and it finally began to make sense to me. So that's so important through the years, and you've probably had instances like this where you've presented something to somebody. Through the years, I've had people come up to me and say, have you ever looked at this? Look at this. And I'm thinking, you know what? 2 years ago, I taught that exact lesson. And I'm like, usually I'll act real excited with people. And I hardly ever say, you know what? I preached that before. I want them to know. But you know what? You got to see it. You got to see it. That's the thing. You got to see it. And it might have just went whew, right over your head when I preached it. That's okay. I'd like for you to get it the first time. But when you see it, you saw it. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So that was good. Thank you, Barbara. Praise the Lord. So let's turn. We'll start getting into tonight, to this lesson. Let's turn to where it talks about the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 6. Okay. We're going to go over there to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 10. We'll read down through 17, I believe, just looking here. Thank you, Lord. So we're talking about the sword of the Spirit. We've talked about our feet being shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Now, we're all doing this on the subject of onward Christian soldiers, preparing us for what is ahead of us. Paul said, for we wrestle not, verse 12, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of this, take into the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we can't go into every one of these. We've got assignment, and we've got to stick to that, and maybe the Lord will take us there on another night. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We did not exhaust that. We only touched it, but we did touch it a couple of weeks. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, we'll just stop right there, and I'm not going to teach. It's not my intended assignment to teach on that tonight, but above all, that is putting an asterisk in, like, pay special attention to this. above all, taking the shield of faith. Well, we're going to mention the sword of the Spirit. We're going to go into the sword of the Spirit, which it defines as the Word of God. But this is also talking about the Word of God. This is the aspect of the Word of God as a shield. This is the same one, Matthew 4, Luke 4, Jesus used as a shield, a buffer against the enemy. It is written, it is written, it is written. This is the shield. And we're going to talk about, maybe next week, if we, I don't know, maybe it'll be the next week. We're going to talk about the differentiation between the rhema word, two words in the Greek, rhema and logos. Well, I know what that is. I know what that, and maybe you do. Okay, careful. Maybe you really do. But I can tell you this, and maybe you have them too. I've got the, you know, the stuff, and it's just utensils of what I do for a living. I've got the books that are not the abbreviated Strong's that just break it down, like they'll give you 4 pages on Rhema or 3 or 4 pages on Logos. When you open up and you read the first couple of paragraphs on either one of them, it's almost impossible to distinguish between Logos and Rhema. It's not that easy. They're very close in definition when you initially read what the Greek definition is. But there is a difference, and we'll break that difference down over the next couple of weeks. But here he says, taking the shield of faith, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How many of you know Satan will send fiery darts? And fiery darts, missiles, those things will come, and they're intended to disrupt your life, take away your peace, and to destroy you. But it says here, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and taking to the helm of salvation, and, it's naming all these, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is the Word of God. When he says here, which is the Word of God, that word is, anybody want to guess? Guesses? Okay. So somebody, I don't want to be wrong. If it's Logos or Rhema, that is the word Rhema. It is the word Rhema. And take into the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema of God. It's the Rhema of God. We will talk about the importance of the two, the difference over the next couple of weeks, and a little bit tonight. But he says here, take unto you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is the Rhema of God. It's this. It's the Jesus. Jesus. We'll read that in just a moment. Actually, I won't try to quote that. But this is the Rhema of God. I'm trying to think of a Logos. Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto him to whom we have to do. That word, the word is quick and powerful. That word is the word logos. It's the word logos. The logos, how many of you know, is quick and powerful. But here in Ephesians, it talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema of God. It's the Rhema of God. Hallelujah. So as I said, next week, maybe, because we got so much to cover, before we get done, we'll really break some of that down for you. In Matthew 4:3, I'll read this. You don't have to turn there. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written. Hallelujah. How many of you know Jesus always says, it is written? Okay. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, does anybody want to guess what that word is? Okay, I'm hearing all kinds. Rhema. Okay, this lady's, okay, she's batting 100. Okay, woo! Harry's married to somebody really smart. Glory to God. This is the word rhema. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Satan, it is written. But listen to this. Listen. Okay, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But notice this. Notice that Jesus is using the Logos to refer to the rhema. If his written word is Logos, okay, I'll give you that much tonight. If his written word is Logos, Jesus in his, and this is where, okay, we'll get this far. In our warfare, you've got to be equipped in two ways, offensively and defensively. These poison arrows are going to be shot at you continually, okay? Jesus knew that he was in a warfare, and when Satan come at him with these three tremendous temptations, he did above all, took the shield of faith, which was the word of God, and he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Okay? That's the only way that you and I will win against the spiritual attack of the enemy. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything? It is as if Jesus, listen to this, now this one you may have to ponder a little bit, it is as if Jesus is saying, I'm going to use the Logos of God as the rhema word of the Lord to lift up the shield of faith against you and to destroy you. Now, we're going to talk a lot. We don't have a whole lot more time tonight, but we're going to talk a lot over the next couple of weeks about the sword of the Spirit and what it is spoken. And it is definitely something that must be spoken. The Logos spoken. And it combines the Logos, the written word, with the present tense mind of the Lord on every situation. Now here, let me give you this bridge, okay? We're going to say it tonight together, but we're going to use this as something we'll say next week as well. Let's have this bridge in our song, okay? You know what a bridge is? It's the refrain. You got to go back to it, okay? We're going to say this a couple times, okay? Say this with me. A sheathed sword does no one any good at all. Okay, does everybody know what the sword is? The word of the Lord. Okay. So a sheathed sword does no one any good at all. Say this, swords were made for wielding. A sheathed sword is no sword at all. Everybody got that so far? Okay. The offensive weapon of the word does me no good unless I draw my sword from its sheath. When I open my mouth and speak the word of the Lord, I am wielding the sword of the Spirit. Okay, now this is a truth, and you may not, you'll get it, and you will, I know. It's just really strong. I may have 1,000 scriptures inside my heart that bring me comfort, but until I speak the word of God, I am not exercising the offensive weapon of the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I may have 1,000 personal prophecies that have gone before me as a blueprint of my life. They may give me comfort and direction, but until I speak them as a Thus saith the Lord, they have not yet become the offensive sword of the Spirit. You get the gist, right? I'm full of the world. You know what? I have been sometimes got beat. I mean, beat down for a couple of days. And I'm full of the word. I got all kind of scripture memorized. And I got all not just memorized, I got it in there where I know it. And the Holy Spirit would come to me and say, just like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I can't execute this word until you start speaking it. You can lay there half the night, go half crazy, and have all kind of word inside of you. And he ain't going to do it. He's going to keep picking and picking and picking. He'll pick on you tomorrow and next day and every day. I'm full of the word. Yeah, you might be full of the word, but the sword of the Spirit is the spoken. You got to get it out there. I know 1,000 scriptures, but wonderful. He beat you to death with 1,000 scriptures on the inside of you. Just beat you to a pulp. All right. Now this will help you, okay? I know this is going to be a practical lesson, okay? This is a practical. But I'm going to talk about a pocket sword of the Spirit for just a moment, because we're living in a world of technology, okay? I'm just going to, now, this is not to cast any aspersions about anybody that doesn't have smart devices or anything like that, okay? But if you do, I'm going to share with you some good things, and it'll help you, okay? It really will help you. And if you do have it, then you should use at least part of it. Has anybody heard Gary Carpenter's example about getting stuff and downloading stuff that he uses Peggy Elliott? You haven't heard that? I mean, he'll use Peggy up a bunch. She's 95 years old, and she doesn't have Wi-Fi where she's at, but she has to travel a certain place. She goes into a library, downloads it, and then goes back and Gary always says, look, if you don't know how to do something, ask a teenager, okay? But I'm going to go past that and say, if you don't, ask a two-year-old. Listen. Well, they're 2.5 now. They're 7 weeks apart, my two granddaughters. They're 7 weeks apart. They're about 2.5. One was born in January and one in November. They'll say, they're riding in their baby chair in the back, or their kid's chair, and they'll say, Nana, can I see your cell phone, okay, or they'll grab Papa's, and the only thing I have to do, and I know they could do it themselves, but I won't give it to them, I won't share it with them, I have to, you know, put my code in, and unlock it, but I could show them that 4 digits, and they could follow it every time. But they will take it, and I've watched them. They will take it, and with all my, my apps on there and the icons and stuff, and they will scroll through, and they love watching, you know, and we watch what they do, okay? So, but, you know, there's a memory on there of last things, and like, so all the YouTubes is more like, because they've watched it before in the past, it's got all those Disney stuff and all that stuff, and you got to watch all that stuff too, but it's got all the stuff, the kids stuff. But they will scroll through, they'll find the YouTube app, and bam, they'll hit that, and then they'll just start scrolling, and they'll figure out which one they want, and they'll play that one for a while, watch that a while, and they'll go off that one, and they'll, you know, they're just searching, am I right, Candy? And they'll do all kind of stuff that I can't. They'll get to stuff, and I mean, it's like, my God, how did they do that? So Gary always says about, you know, Peggy Elliott, and she's 95. He goes, most people say, I can't do that. He says, no, you can. You just don't want to. You just don't want to break into that. You know, break. But, okay, I don't want to be mean or anything. Okay. But I want to share with you, for any of those, and this I might have to think for a minute, how I do some of this. But I'm, because of the sword of the Spirit, obviously, I want to share with you some Bible apps that you can get. You can write this down, okay? And maybe some of you have got it. And I don't know how this will work with Androids. I'm just speaking from the logic, how the logic of iPhones work, okay? So if you got an Android, I'm not throwing off on that. I'm just saying this is how it is. You know, it's just, okay? You remember the old arguments? Apple, PC, Apple, PC. Okay, I don't know enough to fight with you, okay? Okay, all right. But the one is the Acro Bible, A-C-R-O Bible. And most of these are like free or just a couple bucks or, you know, whatever, okay? So the one thing I'll mention about that is I like that because you have easy access to looking up any word or phrase in the Bible, okay? The only thing about that on the Acro Bible, you can't copy and paste, okay? So that's the only draw. But every one of these apps have something really good that you can use. The eSword, that's really, really good. eSword is really good because eSword Bible app is very easy to copy and paste, and that's going to be important when I talk about helping you to derive or put together your own kind of little pocket sword. See, I'll jump ahead just for a second. I've got a file in here that is, it's got like, it's under confessions, and it's under my iCloud. And I can hit that and go to that, and I have got like, I think I've got 7 or 8 different files underneath that. And I'll share with you what those are, but I can sit in a parking lot waiting for candy to come out, or I can be waiting to go into an appointment, and I can hit that. You know, if there's, well, I can even speak it enough that I'm not bothering anybody, but especially if I'm sitting in the car, I can take, and for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, I've got enough stuff in there. Now, I say, well, I got the word. I know you got the word. I'm trying to give you some easy steps. I can pull out a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and for about 20 or 30 minutes, because of stuff that I've got put in there, I can just beat the you-know-what out of the devil. I can wield the sword of the Spirit. Incredible. I just sit there, and I've had this for a long time. I put together, and I can't tell you how to put together yours, but these are really good, important things for you. The eSword Bible app, I mentioned that, right? It's very easy to copy and paste, and every verse is marked. I like this because every verse is marked by the book, chapter, and verse. So if you put that in something that you tailor make as your blueprint, it has every verse and every chapter, okay? Now here's another one. Here's another one that you should get. It's the pocket sword, okay? And this will make you all scholars. Because the pocket sword from New Testament and Old Testament, by every word, it has a Strong's, every word or phrase has a Strong's concordance numbering attached to it. It also will give you all occurrences. Like, I want to know how many times this is. So if I go to the pocket sword, every word has an abbreviated. This won't give you the big, you know, but it'll give you a gist of what it means. That would be a good one to put in your phone or in your, you know, iPad or whatever. So the pocket sword. Here's another one. This is a good one. Let's see. Where's that at? Okay. The Tecarta, T-E-C-A-R-T-A. Now, that one, if you just want a great listening, it's got an audio on there. And it's real animated, okay? It's not just a guy reading. It's very animated. It's got, like, Jesus will say something, and if one of his disciples, they've got another actor saying it. It's really good. They got, if you're in the garden, you got birds in the background. When he's walking through to go to Jairus' house, you know, you can hear the crowd. And it's really, really, they put a Tecarta. T-E-C-A-R-T-A, okay? And it's real animated, and it's really good. So you'll like that one. And but my favorite way of reading the word is still is just sitting there reading it myself. I heard Homer say today, he blessed me, and I know where he's headed. I know I've already seen that. I've already seen Homer, but he said he was crying, and he's about to make me cry. But he said I can't wait till I can just hold this word. He holds the word all the time, but read this word himself. See, the best way that you're going to get it in you, really, is reading it for yourself. Now, Homer, he gets it in him, but you know how much he memorizes it. But this is the point I'm making. When you read the word yourself, when you read it yourself, that's really, all these other things are helps to me in my little pocket sword. But when you read the word itself, how many of you know when you read, you hear your voice? When I'm reading, I don't hear Candy's voice. I hear Bronx's voice in my head. So when I'm reading, even silently, because you wear yourself out, obviously. Sometimes I'll read out loud just if I'm trying to get a point across to myself. But when you're reading silently, even silently, my head is my voice. And so when I'm reading, I'm hearing my voice, and that's getting down in there over and over. So, I know how Homer does. He just hears something over and over, and he'll sit there and memorize it. And so he's hearing his voice. It's you hearing your own voice over and over. That's really the best way. That'll get it down in there. But I can relax and listen to all this other stuff as well. But listen, creating your own pocket sword, we are going to talk about, I said, the sword of the Spirit. So that's why it's important. And we haven't even got into all the spiritual parts of this. But, hey, is this important? That's absolutely important. Listen, creating your own pocket sword using technology. And as I said, if you don't have a smart device, it's okay. Let me just share the practicality of this. And you can do it. You don't have to. This is not one of those, thus saith the Lord. This is like, I'm sitting. I want to share a few minutes. Now I do this in my private prayer time, but I can do this off the cuff, any place, deer stand, fishing, whatever. I can pull this out and I can go to my mail. And of course, if you've got iPhones, you'll understand. If you go to iCloud, then you've got all of these, you can put all these files in there, okay? So I've got, as I said, one of these files is confessions, and I've had this for a long time. So I have my confessions, and under this file of confessions, I'll have different folders. And so there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, so I've got more than what I thought. But there's some of them are very short. One that I just added recently was one that Gary sent me, and we're going to put that up back on the back. As we're going out all the time, we can. Boy, it's good to have a bunch of notes, especially when you. This one right here, that's going to be on the back. It says this, but I can read it from mine. I can just hit right here, the garden. Okay, I put it in. It's a PDF. So I transferred it over to that file. My Lord Jesus has sent me into my Father's garden to dress it and to keep it. Now this is a rhema. This is a spoken, present tense, mind of Christ, word of the Lord. My Lord Jesus has sent me into my Father's garden to dress it and to keep it. An enemy has brought great ruin to my Father's garden. I have authority from my Father. I have authority from my Lord Jesus and power by the Holy Spirit to restore all the damage this enemy has done and to drive the enemy from my Father's garden wherever I find him. This is the will of my Father. Jesus sent me as he was sent, that all things be restored to the Father's original intent and purpose. Hallelujah. That's wielding the sword. That's not just, okay, we lift up the shield to block. But there's times where you just want to offensively begin to move on the gates of hell. That's not, sometimes we're taking it on the chin. Man, get that shield up. Get it off of you. That's, see, every football team or every team has an offense and defense. If you just have one, you don't win. You got to have both. You got to have both. Every army has an offensive and defensive strategy. Has to. I read the other day in USA Today, Rex Tillerson's, he's talking about what we need to do with North Korea. You know the current news. You know, they're trying to, basically, every American knows that if half of what we're hearing is true, their dictator wants to develop an IBM missile that will, is that right? That will transcontinental. They got one now they think would hit Alaska, but they want to eventually develop one will hit the continental United States. Well, the guy is crazy, but Jesus shed his blood for him. We need to pray for him. But so they said, look, hey, we can do a couple different things. We can do a preemptive strike, and we're powerful enough to do that. The only thing is the possibility of hundreds of thousands of people in South Korea dying, because by the time we launch that. But then they're also speculating, we'll get back to this in just a moment, they're also, because it all involves that, they're also thinking about this. They're saying, okay, what's our missile defense initiative? In other words, this is our shield of faith. They're saying, look, okay, there's two ways to look at this. Either we can just try to strike fast enough to knock out everything, and that's almost impossible before he kills a whole bunch of other people, or especially for us, and I don't know about the other nation, we can develop, we've already got a whole bunch of missile defense missiles that are just made for knocking out other missiles. Okay, we've already got those. He's wanting, and of course our president's all for, he's wanting to develop more on another scale. And they're already putting this into action to develop more to keep any of those missiles from reaching. And they have a 3 or 4 part plan. One plan is, okay, develop more of those. Then also put more, I think it was 20, they needed like 27 more, 24 more satellites devoted just, because you know how a satellite is, a satellite can't just take a picture, it's orbiting. So it's not always over any particular area. So they would have to station these satellites so that you'd always have one at least converted, devoted is the word, devoted to North Korea. So he said, we're gonna put all these satellites, we need so many more. And then there's the next phase. These satellites could guide all these defense missiles, but they're also the old Reagan thing, really talking about putting missiles in space in these satellites, where that these other satellites, once they're detected, they could monitor these things 24 hours a day and then just knock them out. But the greatest thing, the best thing that they're really working on, they said 5 years, they've already got it, they've already tested it, they're trying to perfect it, is the laser. And the laser would work off a drone, and that drone could hover. And it could hover for it was a long time, at 60,000 feet over them. They can't knock a drone out at 60,000 feet. That's just right at the edge of outer space. But a drone that have laser capability, and this sounds like Star Wars, but it's not. It's really, really true. I mean, they have the laser that as soon as the missile is launched, before it gains speed and altitude, it just, boom, it just knocks it out. Boom, boom, boom. And so that's 5 years from now, but we've already got all the, so they're taking another thought process of we don't know if we want to take an offensive boom or defensive, but we're going to do both. You know, we're going to think about both. So it's vitally important. But I'm only using that as an illustration to say this. You've got to have in your arsenal of walking forward with Christ, you've got to be able to have a shield of faith, but you've also got to have an arsenal inside of you that is able to wield the sword. See, the gates of hell are there. They're shooting missiles. We're blocking them. No, it's written. No, it's I'm not gonna hate him. I'm not gonna hate her. It is written. Love your enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. Go, devil. You know, did you know that there's always a war? Always a war. You've got to use that defense, but there's times where, and this should be our initiative every day, or at least most of the time, we're knocking the, you know what? We're knocking the hell out of hell. Hallelujah. Don't wait for, have that. Speak the Logos, but come on, bring the Rhema. Bring it. Bring it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Say it. Yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, I've got that. I'm not going to go through all this, but I've got confessions on finances. I've got prayer requests. Several people here. Boom, boom. And I don't have to spend a whole lot of time. I just speak the directives. I say, boom, he's healed. Boom, I say she's healed. Rise up and walk. Go in the name of Jesus. So I've got those. I've got these prayer requests. I've got some personal confessions concerning my giving and where I want to be. Let's see, what's this one? That's confessions over the church. Scriptural, oh, I love this one. Scriptural prayers. I went through, you know, because I don't always have my Bible with me, but I almost always have my cell phone. And I can do this without going through. The best way, the way that I did this, you know, all the scriptural prayers that Paul prayed? There's one in Ephesians 1. I got that one. And I just go through there and I'll pray those scriptural prayers over me. That's the Rhema wielding. Boom, 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 boom. That's not defense. That's not waiting for him, the devil, to come during the day. That's waking me up saying, get up. I'm here. Do you hear what Ephesians 1 says? I cease not to give thanks to you, Lord, making mention to you in my prayers. And I pray that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto me, Bronk Flint, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of my understanding will be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of your glory as in the inheritance of the saints. And that I may know what is the exceeding greatness of your power to meward who believe, according to the work of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in heavenly places far above. I say, Father, you've set me with him far above all principalities, powers, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And you've placed all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things. And then I've got right under that, and the second chapter, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. So I say, Lord, if I'm in him, then I'm seated with him, and I'm seated above all principalities, powers, rulers, dominions, and mights. And so, man, I'm just getting a joy beating up the devil, wielding the sword. And so how did I do that? The way that you do that is, okay, You would go to, this is the way I did it. Some of you are smarter than me, so you'd figure out how to do this in a better way maybe. But if you go to eSword, and you know where all those prayers are at, then you just go to eSword, and it's real easy to copy. I mean, it's real easy to copy eSword. So I copy that, and then I just go over to my notes, because you got a notes section. I paste that in my notes, okay? And then I take that note, and then I just, because I can't transfer my notes into this iCloud, but I take my notes right there and I email it to myself. I email it to myself, and then I can take that email and transfer it into this file. So I've got all that. I can sit there and, man, I can just beat up on the devil for just beat up on him. It's just so fun. Hallelujah. So I got all those scriptural prayers. That's in Ephesians 1. There's one in Ephesians 3. For this cause I bow the knees of my heart unto you. I could go on and on of whom the unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. See, these are prayers that Paul prayed for the church. I get to pray them for myself. There's some in here about the Word of God, and I know that my development in the Word of God has come about by me praying these prayers. There's financial confessions. Here's one. There's a PDF that Gary Carpenter put out years ago. It's Scriptures for Financial. I'm going to turn it sideways. Scriptures for Financial Increase. Confess these personal passages of God regularly to help build your faith for increased financial prosperity. Be alert to take action in any way the Holy Spirit may direct you, especially in your giving. Honor the Lord in all the areas of your life, including the financial areas. Now, that was on Gary's PDF. And then he's got a whole bunch, like 20 different scriptures that you can just sit there. See, you can do all this in 20 or 30 minutes. And my God, you have wielded the sword of the Spirit incredibly. So I just take that PDF, put it in my notes, and then send my notes over to my email. And then I can send this into that file. I've got a partnership confession that I speak over Pastor Dave. I got a couple more things personal. But you catch the drift? Isn't that good? So you can use those apps to put together your own e-sword. Okay, praise God. Like I said, we could go on and on, but you've been a good audience. Hallelujah. And I want you to come back. Hallelujah. I had a good time. Praise God. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Father, I worship you, glorify you. I thank you for your amazing grace. And I thank you that we get the opportunity every day to go into your Spirit, to learn, to grow, to mature, Lord, to lift up the shield of faith and to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We thank you for these. Let this sink deep down into our hearts. And if necessary, to listen to it the second time, or as Barbara said, the third time. Lord, we just pray that the bottom line is not legalistically, but Lord, to get it down in each of us. That is the bottom line. So I ask you in the name of Jesus that you will do that for all of us. In the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Amen.